Well, good morning. Thanks, Elijah, for reading the scriptures. My name is Yuri, and I'm one of the elders here at the church. Micah, our pastor, is on vacation for the next couple of weeks, and this summer we are going through a series where different people speak about their experience with spiritual disciplines, and I'll talk about that bigger picture a bit later. The scriptures that we had on the screen and that Elijah read are a bit of a collection of different verses rather than one passage, and I'll come back to different bits and pieces from those, as they all focus on the idea of fellowship and friendship in the family of God. And I want to speak about that because that is something that I've seen as a bit of a spiritual discipline and something that God has blessed me through over the years. So a little bit about me to start with. I was born and lived about half of my life in the Czech Republic, and I met my wife and my best friend Esther there. We got married and then lived there until about 2003, when we said, it's probably time to live in her home country, Canada. You know, you try to balance things. The mother-in-law agreed. And we made a plan, a good plan, of course. We said, let's go there for about 3 years. Here I am. We ended up living in Calgary, in Alberta, from 2003 to 2018, when we moved here. When I moved to Calgary, it was a big international move for me, of course, from the Czech Republic, from Europe, to North America. Now, there were many things that you could say probably made it much easier for me than it is for many people who move from one country to another, from one continent to another. I spoke English. I was coming here knowing quite a bit about the country. I had been here before, visited. I was coming with my wife, who is from here. I went to a place where we had some relatives we could live with for a few weeks before we found a place to rent. Had a job guaranteed for at least a month. So lots of things that seemed to be in place. What we didn't have when Esther and I moved to Calgary was fellowship and deep friendships in that place. And I suspect that many of you can relate to that experience. Today, we people in general in Canada and North America move so much, whether just from town to town, province to province, between countries. Many of us would have an experience like that perhaps many times. But it's not just when we make these kind of long distance moves that that happens to us. It can happen to us over time in a community where we just live. It can happen to us because of changes in our family and our social circumstances. All that can land us in a place where we suddenly look at our lives and we say, I don't actually feel that I have a fellowship or that I have deep connections, that I lack friendship perhaps. So I'd like to invite you to think about this topic with me today, and I hope that together we'll come out on the other side, not discombobulated, but hopefully encouraged. So I said already that this summer we're talking about spiritual disciplines. And Micah, when he introduced this topic earlier in July, he used this image of tools in a garden shed. So that's what's on the screen now. And he said that spiritual disciplines as different kinds of activities that we may do in our life of faith are like tools that we have available, and we don't always use all of them, and not everybody uses all of them, but they are tools that we may use perhaps with some regularity and some effort, and God then blesses that activity and responds. Sometimes he teaches us something, sometimes he really reshapes us, changes us. Sometimes he uses to bless other people. So these kind of disciplines don't clearly lead to some kind of predetermined outcomes always. They do not work the same way for everybody. We might bring the fuel, but it is lit by God, and the fire doesn't always burn the same way. They always need our focus and our effort and our attention, some kind of investment, intentionality, but we cannot see them as some kind of spiritual pills that we take regularly with certain dosage, and then we can track what happens on a chart. Instead, as we participate in any of these disciplines, we look to God and let him cook. He then decides what kinds of gifts, in what form, he brings to us or to others. So how does this topic of fellowship or friendship fit into the garden shed? Does it? Does it look like one of the tools up on the screen? I don't see it hanging in Micah's shed up there. I think this one needs a different type of tool as a metaphor. So I will see if this does it for me. Nope, maybe. There we go. I think this one is much better. I think it looks more like this. Okay, it's an amazing picture. I'd love to chat with any of those guys. Look, I see it more as a two-person saw, something big, because it's not just something I can do on my own. Most of the spiritual disciplines we're going to talk about this summer are things that we can have in our personal lives of faith as things we do ourselves. Sometimes we do them with others. This one is really about all of us together. And if I were to use a bit of a diagram, I tried to start something like that. So it is the two ends of the saw where we sometimes stand on the one side as ourselves, where we do the pulling at our end. And at the other end, it is all of our people around us, whether in our church and our other social interactions of faith. And God is there at the other end as well. He always does more of the pulling than we do. He's good to us that way. And he could do it all, but just somehow, like with the other disciplines, he honors the pulling that we do at our end and blesses it and multiplies it. So what is the pull on our side, and what is it that happens at the other end? What are some of the gifts that may come at the other end? Maybe. Can we click? I went back. I did not go back. It is there. My mistake. See, I tried to look really fancy. I've got a camera here, and it's pointed up there, but it actually has to work for me to see it. My mistake. Very fancy sometimes. So at our end, I believe that it is our effort to actually enter into an intentional fellowship, throw ourselves into being part of a community. That's not easy, and I don't want to make it sound easy here, whether it is about being the new person somewhere or being a person who's been at a church or in a group of people for a long, long time. It is difficult, but it is something that we can ask God to help us with. At the other end, I believe that we can receive surprising gifts, gifts like deep friendships that God may give us. Sometimes one person or two people whose friendship we discover in a fellowship like a local church. Doesn't happen all the time, but like I say, sometimes God surprises us and blesses the fact that we pull at the one end of the saw. So I'd like to look at four short topics that relate to this. There we go. The first one is really a question that comes from that first passage or that first verse that Elijah read. Who do you walk with? So let's go back to me moving to Calgary. I had some external advantages in making the move, but I still felt quite ill-prepared to make friendships and build relationships with Canadians. My two main issues, the first one, you may know it or you may not, on the introvert-extrovert scale, I'm much closer to the introvert side. So that may be the case for some of you, for many of you, or not. But for me, I know that I enjoy good conversations. Sometimes I can enjoy large groups of people, but you know, give me one person, two people every now and then, and that's probably a little closer to my wiring. The other problem, I was almost completely ignorant about hockey. Now, look, this is not to show what I thought hockey was, but I love the picture. This is the 1917 Queen's University hockey team, women's hockey team, okay? Fascinating. It's from a course that I took on the history of hockey to start to fit in. No, it's not. I'm lying big time. I occasionally watched hockey, but I really had close to no interest in it, and I failed miserably at even faking surface level knowledge of what's happening in the NHL or somewhere else. And I know some of you are now probably asking yourself, how come we're still talking to him? So it's a testimony to your grace. I'm mentioning it because there are things where we connect with somebody because we share something. And then there are times when we actually don't share much, or we feel like we don't share anything. But in a fellowship of faith, we share the ultimate connection, the ultimate thing, our love for God and for Jesus. So when I moved to Calgary, that was probably the first time that God challenged me with that verse that Elijah started with, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Usually when people read this verse, they focus on the effect of the company they keep. And that's definitely what it's about. But when I think back, I remember reading that verse at that time and God saying to me, so Yuri, who do you actually walk with? Do you walk with anyone? Are there any people who have an influence on your life? People whom I can use to shape you, to speak to you, to encourage you? Who will you walk with in a new place? I realized that having become a Christian as a teenager, for the first 10 years of my life of faith before I moved to Calgary, God had continuously used other Christians to pull me close to himself and to teach me things about himself, about his love, through the scripture, through how they treated me, through opportunities they gave me to serve them. And so when I moved to Calgary, I realized I needed to see God do the same for me in a new life space. I prayed that he would put me and Esther into a fellowship of believers, but I also realized that maybe he wanted me to do something at my end of that saw. So when we enter into a fellowship like this, when we say, yes, I have that need, I want to do this, or when we are in a place like that and we see others who may need it, what are some of these gifts that may come our way, gems that may be found, discovered together with God? The next few verses that Elijah read, I think, give us some hints as to what the scripture tells us is possible in a community of faith. So the next two verses he read were, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and a friend loves at all times. We see that Christ's love can be shown in practice to us through people around us, through our brothers and sisters. The passage from Hebrews then tells us that we can become more like Christ, that we can be spurred toward love and good deeds, that we can be encouraged, that our faith can grow at times when things get difficult. We see there can be heartfelt advice, there can be good words that shape our lives, that come from friends. So these are promises of relationships that are built on love and that show things like constancy, closeness, a true desire from other people to see us flourish and grow. We We are told that we can actually have relationships, friendships, and fellowship with other people where our own circumstances or our personality, our character flaws, whatever else, will not determine how they treat us, that they can love us at all times. Friends who stick with us through thick and thin, who take time to listen so that their advice can actually be heartfelt, and it is not just some kind of a tidbit of information they found online. We are told that in a fellowship and with friends like this, we can live out Christ's love in practice, and we can grow in that. People can spur us toward love and good deeds. So things that I may never do on my own, God can use people around me to move me along. So if I add to that diagram, in terms of all these gifts, we can see that there are good things, very good things, that can come to us through fellowship with other believers, and that we can be part of giving the same to others, that we can be used by God to give the same kind of gifts to others. Now, you may be thinking now, thanks, Yuri, that sounds all really, really good, but how and when? And why does it feel like that's not always happening? Like it's not always happening in my life or in the life of the people I know. So many people actually feel quite lonely in life, and even without moving to another place, they don't feel particularly connected to others, let alone be able to say that they have deep spiritual friendships. I think there are plenty of things in my life and things around me that make it difficult to receive and give this kind of fellowship and friendship. I want to look at three of these and look at how we can ask God to help us with these challenges. The first one is we are so very busy and hurried, and relationships take time. A friend loves at all times. That suggests availability and constancy, the ability to be present, to take time out of everything else and give it to people. But how can I be available when there are so many things to get done? And then just so many things to get. Now, we're not always in control of this kind of stuff ourselves. When we moved to Calgary, we didn't have kids, and I thought I was really busy, you know, setting up life and so on. And then 2 years later, my first son, Lukasz, was born, and I realized, oh, this is what it's like to be busy and sleep-deprived. So there are definitely times and stages in our lives when we end up doing more of the giving or the sitting on the side than the giving in a fellowship. Or perhaps we give and receive in different ways. Maybe it's at the playground rather than in the church building or in a garage or a coffee shop. At the same time, sometimes I just simply choose to keep myself busy, or my priorities are such that I do not actually give fellowship and friendship a chance. So it seems that I have to decide, that I have to be intentional about this and actually invest in it. Another thing that's making it hard for me, and probably for many of us, is just the values of our culture and the messages that we indirectly see and hear around us. A person who's seen successful more or less is someone who can make it on their own and someone who doesn't have to show weakness, the fact that they struggle. But this means that sharing oneself with others, even without going very deep, needs courage. It needs a kind of vulnerability that lets other people, at least some of them, see the real me. How can I hope for heartfelt advice from people if they do not know me well enough to pray for me, to discern with me? How can I encourage others if I don't know what's weighing them down? In all relationships, we need boundaries. But let's be honest, for me, I think I struggle with the lack of openness more so than with too much information. And that's, I think, is true whether I'm the new person in a group or whether I've been in a church or in a group for a long, long time. I don't think that that really makes a difference. So I don't want these ideas to come out as something that's just in situations when you land in a new place. Now, the third thing that can make it really hard for me, and perhaps for you too as well, to invest in fellowship and friendships are our past experiences. Some of us have tried it and it didn't work. Maybe in a church context, maybe somewhere else. Some of us have had friends who did prove to be unreliable, as the proverb said, or who betrayed our trust. Maybe you've met someone who thought they were put in your life to be that iron that sharpens you, but instead of heartfelt advice, you were getting bamboozled into all kinds of shenanigans or tomfoolery. People who, instead of being there for you when you're going through kerfuffles of life, instead of sitting with you in silence, instead of bringing over a meal, they ended up sharing private information online, or they failed you in a dozen different ways. Or maybe you were at one point in a group where it just seemed like there was an invisible inner ring, and however hard you tried, you couldn't break through, you couldn't get in. Disappointments like that sting, and they can stick. Similarly, I can be afraid of failing others as a friend, failing others as someone who's part of the fellowship. How can I love always? How can I always be present, available? How can I let others in and not let them down, knowing myself? This suggests that we need courage to enter into intentional fellowships. We need vulnerability, and ultimately we need to look to Jesus as our ultimate friend, as the one who not only loved us before we loved him, but who also actually changes us and reshapes us and makes it possible for us to be that kind of friend to others. So I want to finish by looking at a few questions with you. How can we pick up our end of the sword? How can we hold it well? Maybe questions that can help us to do this in a new way. So I'll invite you to think about these today, throughout the week, pray about these, maybe see what God calls you to do in response. So the first one is, who do you walk with? Who are the people you actually spend a chunk of time with or see and spend time with regularly? Maybe it's in a church context. Maybe it's fixing stuff. Maybe it's working together. People you listen to and speak with. Do they spur you toward love and good deeds? Are they an encouragement to you? But even more importantly, how do they see you when they walk with you? Can you do that for them? And in what ways? The second one is, who are some of the people, past and present, who have been spiritual friends to you? People whom God has used to shape you, to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, to point you towards Christ and towards other people. Recognize those gifts that he's given to you. Tell them and tell God and be thankful. The third one is, are you experiencing a need of fellowship and spiritual friendship? And if yes, speak with God and ask him, what is it that you need him to help you with at your end of the saw? Is it your self-sufficiency? Is it giving up something that draws you away from people, an attitude or a reliance on something? over-dependence on work or stuff or worries about stuff or your sense of ownership of your house or of privacy, recreation, something totally different? Do you need wisdom in how you use your time? Do you need courage and encouragement? Do you need God to confirm that He's there for you around other people so that you don't have to think about disappointments from the past? The next one is, how can you receive and give hospitality here and fellowship here at Living Hope? If you are new or feel like you haven't had a chance to get to know people, connect with people, there are some practical ways you can start. You can fill out one of the connection cards that we have back there and say that you'd like to simply have a chat with someone, whether an elder, pastor, somebody else. Maybe you're interested in joining a small group. That was one thing that God challenged me to do when we moved to Calgary. Suddenly I found myself at this men's group downtown Calgary with a bunch of bankers and cowboys. And there I was, this guy from the Czech Republic. But he somehow used that group to actually, over time, connect me with a couple of those guys and build a deep sense of friendship and connection. Now, if you've been here for a long time, still within the context of Living Hope, pray for opportunities to be a fellowship builder. As we read in Hebrews, it says, consider how we may spur one another. Do the considering in God's presence. Think about it. Pray about it. Does it mean that you will want to chat with people you don't know more, or that you invite people over to your house? Does it mean something totally different? Be open to what God may have for you there. And finally, how can our church grow in this area together? You may have been at the town hall meeting that we had 4 or 5 weeks ago, and if you were, you might remember that the idea of connecting, of building connections and fellowship was one of the things that we'd like to focus on as a church. Now, when we all think about it, when the elders think about it, we don't need some kind of a big Six Sigma project management plan for this. What we need is we need to pray together, come together, and be open with each other to see what kind of needs there are, but also what is it that God has given us as gifts already in each other to build this. So pray with us for this, for our church. Talk with each other, talk with the elders, speak with Micah, share your thoughts.